You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. This is God's Word. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. May God add his blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. The command that God gave to Abraham came in the context of a promise and in the context of a name change. God said, from now on, instead of being called Exalted Father, you're going to be called the Father of many, because that's what I've made you. Now, if you'll recall, up to this point, Abram had had one child, and that was Ishmael. And that child had come about as a result of a suggestion from his wife, and it hadn't turned out so well. When Abram tried to make things happen, it was not a good plan. Now God, years later, tells Abram, we're changing your name. From now on, instead of Abram, you're Abraham. You're not just given a title of respect, you're given a title of promise. You're going to have nations come from you. And it's not going to be with someone else. It's going to be with your wife. We're changing her name from Sarai to Sarah. So you and your wife both get a name change. Imagine introducing that subject to not just your wife, but everybody else. From now on, you're to call me the father of many. Now, apparently, the wife's name was just a variation on the same name, meaning princess. But I think that's kind of sweet. The lady's 90 years old and he calls her princess, which usually is a term having to do with youth. If he called her queen or something like that, then it would be a little more grown up. But saying to your 90-year-old, how's my little girl, is, you know, that's sort of a step of faith. But God has said, your wife, Sarah, is going to be the mother of a child within the year. Within the year, this is going to happen. How hard is that to believe? Well, Abraham laughed. He found it very hard to believe. But he believed. How can that be? How is God going to do that? Is God capable of doing that? Yes. God created the universe out of nothing. Out of nothing. He didn't take some raw materials and come up with a good design. He came up with the design and he didn't need raw materials. He spoke the universe into being. And you and I need to understand that's the God we're dealing with. That's why people who have trouble with the miracles in Scripture just have no clue about who God is. Intellectually, it is not a problem once you understand who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the infinite, almighty God. He doesn't just have a lot of power, He has all power. And so when God says, I'm going to raise this person from the dead, or I'm going to give a child to a man who's going to be 100 years old, and his wife is 90, and she never was able to have children, that's a stretch for anybody else, but not for God. No one else can do what God can do. Nobody else needs to do what God can do. God is the one who comes on the scene and He speaks to Abram and says, your name is Abraham, your wife shall be called Sarah, you're going to have a child within the year. That is astonishing. But that is a promise from God. And as you know, that promise is going to come true. But God also gives Abraham another step of faith. It's one thing to have to call yourself by a name that you haven't been called before and tell other people that they're supposed to call you the father of many when you've only got one kid. But God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And this covenant is going to be a covenant with you as an individual and with your descendants. And the way that we're going to remind everybody of this covenant, this agreement between us, is with a minor surgical procedure involving a part of your body that you don't really want people working on. Okay? God says all the males are to be circumcised. Now, every so often, somebody will ask me, what does that mean? So I'll go ahead and tell you what it means in case you don't know. And if you do know, you're wondering how I'm going to explain this. Men and women have differences in their bodies. Our bodies are not just the same. And when it comes to our private parts, men have a very special piece of equipment that has a whole lot of nerves connected with it, so that there is enormous sensation there. And it's going to be surgically altered. What? Why? Well, there is something called the foreskin. Talks about it a lot in the Old Testament. David was sent out to gather a bunch of foreskins from the Philistines because they would not have been circumcised. And if he brought back the foreskins to Saul, that would be proof that he had killed those Philistines, because no Philistine was going to stand there and let David circumcise him. Is that clear? This was a painful procedure. This was a scary procedure. And this was something God demanded of all those males in covenant with him. And so cutting away the foreskin from the man's organ was something God required as a sign of his special relationship with that person and their trust in him. If God had asked for a man's little finger, it would have been a lot less personal. Okay? But God was saying, I'm going to take from you something you don't need, something you don't use, but something that is near and dear to you. And when Abram goes back and he tells everybody, from now on, God has just appeared to me, and from now on, you're to call me Abraham, the father of many. Now, there's more. And has to tell these men, his 13-year-old son, we all know how cooperative 13-year-olds are, his 13-year-old son and all the adult males in his household, you remember his 318 trained warriors? He has to say to his militia, men, line up. God just told me that you need some surgery. How do you think that went over? But they did it. They obeyed. That's amazing. That is a picture of God's grace in Abraham's life, that he was able to lead those who followed him to trust what he said about what God said. And so they trusted Abraham. And they submitted themselves to being surgically altered. They were circumcised. All of them. And Abraham himself had to be circumcised at age 99. Think about that. Now, there are a lot of lessons from this. But one lesson is, God may ask us in his word to do some things that to us don't make tons of sense. Do we really have to do what the Bible says if it doesn't really make sense to us? Yes. It's what God says, then we need to obey. Well, what if it seems like something that, you know, is just completely out of step with the culture around us? We still need to do it. Well, what if it's something that puts us in a vulnerable position? There will be stories later about people who were circumcised and then wiped out because after that procedure was done, a couple of days later, they were hurting and in no condition to fight. Doesn't it seem like we ought to stagger this over the next, 6 months? So that these folks get circumcised and these folks can continue to man the battle lines. And then these folks get circumcised and everybody else, these guys will be better and they'll be able to... Now look at what happened here. Verse 23. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Logistically, I think that would be a little hard. It would be, but they did it. Strategically, in terms of making sure you've still got everybody ready for jobs that they have to do and all that, I would think this would be impractical. It was, but they did it. They did what God said right away. Folks, we need to learn a lesson from that. We need to realize that when God says to do something, He doesn't mean if you ever feel like it. If you just sort of get an urge. You do what God says when God says to do it. And you do it because God says to do it. And that's what Abraham did, and he is the father of those who trust God. That's what it looks like when people trust God. They do what God says because God says so. Abraham didn't say, "Well, I tell you what, God, you send me a son through Sarah and I'll do what you said." No. He did what God said. He did it that day. He didn't tell all of his men, "Listen, guys, this is what God said we need to do. I want you to consider it." And those who are willing, line up. He said, "Line up. We're getting this done." And he did this. And he wasn't exempt. He didn't say, "Well, we're gonna try it out on these." He circumcised himself. He circumcised his son. He circumcised all the men in his household. Regardless of rank, regardless of age, this applied to everybody. Because God's command must be obeyed. Moses is going to get in a lot of trouble later on and make God very angry because he did not obey this covenant command. His son was not circumcised on the eighth day. And as a result, God meets him along the way and is about to kill him. And his wife ends up having to circumcise their son. And she's not happy about it. Apparently, she had been resistant to their son being circumcised, and Moses had thought it was better to go along with his wife than it was to obey God, and thereby failed in his responsibility as a husband and as a father. And so, we need to learn a lesson. When God says you're to do something, you need to do it. And if your spouse isn't in favor, you need to obey God. And if the people around you don't understand, you need to obey God. And if it makes you vulnerable to criticism or mockery or attack, you need to obey God. Don't take your cues from the culture. Receive God's word as a command. Do what he says. Well, we're not under law. I know in the New Testament we don't have to be circumcised. That's right. In the New Testament, circumcision is no longer the sign of the covenant. Baptism is. Baptism is. I'll never forget, I was pastoring on Cape Cod, and a woman that I had not been there all that long. There were some believers in the church when I came, and others who came to Christ, a lot of folks after I got there. But this woman called me on the phone. She said, "Pastor, I just need you to pray that God will help me to know which of these two jobs I'm supposed to take. Because I need a job, and I've got two job offers, and I need to know which of these two I'm supposed to take." And I said, "Well, I'll be glad to pray with you. Tell me about the jobs." And she told me about them, and they were both legitimate lines of work and similar impact on income and family. I said, "Well, I'll pray. You've asked God to show you?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, first of all, you need to pray not just asking God which of these jobs you're to take, but asking God what he would have you to do, including not taking a job or taking some job other than these two that you're offering to him. Don't come to God and give him two alternatives and say, 'You pick,' because God might have something completely different in mind, and you need to be open to that." And she said, "Well, I hadn't thought of that." I said, "Well, you need to do that." She came back, she said, I really have told the Lord I'm willing to do anything regarding the job situation, and I'm still not getting any leading from the Lord. What do you think I should do?" And I said, "Well, is there anything God has told you to do that you're not doing or you haven't done?" And she said, "Well, I don't see what that has to do with it." And I said, "What came to your mind when I said that?" And she said, "Well, it's nothing about my job." And I said, "What came to your mind when I said that?" She said, "Well, I've been knowing for some time now that at some point I need to be baptized. But I just haven't felt ready for that yet." I said, "Are you a follower of Jesus Christ?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "And you know in his word he tells us that as believers in Jesus, as those who are his followers, we're supposed to be baptized." She said, "Yes, I know." "And you haven't been baptized?" "No, I have not." "Why not?" "I just haven't felt ready." Folks, you don't have to feel ready to do what God says. You just need to do what God says. And I said, if you are refusing to do what God has told you, you know God tells you to do this, but you have not done it, why would you expect God to give you guidance about what job to take? You're refusing to obey him. I said, if you want to get guidance and direction from God, do what you know he says in his word. She did. And God gave her a better job than either of the two she'd been praying about. I want you to understand something. If God has been dealing with you about something you need to do or stop doing, you need to obey. Because God is not just a friendly Dutch uncle who gives you counsel. God is the ruler of the universe, the creator of all things. He is our Lord and King, and he commands, and we must obey. And so, even though Abraham was not a perfect man, he is a model for us of faith, and this is what faith looks like. You do what God says, even when it hurts, even when other people don't understand, and you do it right away because God says so. God will never contradict His word. God will never go back on His promises. You should never think that, you know, well, I want to wait and see if maybe God changes His mind. God doesn't turn. God keeps His promise. And God wants us to keep His commands. So, as you look at this passage, please see that this is a covenant sign for generations to come. Every male among you, verse 12, who is 8 days old, must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who's not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He's broken my covenant. So how is it then that in the new covenant we're released from that? If this is an everlasting covenant, the answer is because the new has come which fulfills the old covenant. The old covenant was a picture given by God. Now the reality has come and it is so much better. But please understand, God is the one who brought this about and it was promised in the old covenant. The sacrificial system, killing animals and taking their blood and using that for cleansing, all of that in the old covenant, it said, was pointing to something else. And so we read, for instance, in the prophet Jeremiah about the fact that God is going to bring about a new covenant in which our hearts get circumcised. Not the outer part of our body, but the inner part. It's a spiritual circumcision of the heart done by God where He changes us on the inside and causes us to desire to do God's will. In that regard, I want to ask males and females, do you have a circumcised heart? Has God changed you so that your desire now is not to try and get away with doing stuff and hope God doesn't punish you? Just, you know, I want to keep doing this, but I believe Jesus forgives me. Is your desire to do God's will? Where you want to please Him. You want to serve Him. You want to do what He says. That is the evidence of a changed heart. That is the evidence that God has done something on the inside. Circumcision of the males was something done on the outside. Circumcision of the heart is for men and women, and it's on the inside, and it changes our affections. Doesn't mean we're no longer tempted towards sin. It means that our response to that temptation increasingly is to say, God forbid, because we want to do the will of God. We want to do what pleases Him. And that, dear friends, is what God says we all need. If you feel like, no, I don't, that doesn't describe me. I basically would like to sin as much as possible and just not get in trouble for it. Then cry out to God for mercy. Ask Him to change your heart. He's the only one who can. Ask Him to do what needs to be done inside to make you His, to save you. Because that's what it comes down to. Being saved is not just being forgiven so that you don't go to hell. It's being rescued from spiritual death, where God is the one you want to run from instead of to. Do you desire to do His will? Is that your heart's longing? I'll say it again. If not, beg Him to save you. Cry out to Him for mercy. And he will have mercy on you. And he will save those who ask him for salvation. That's good news. That's what Jesus made possible. Jesus died on the cross as the fulfillment of all that the old covenant pointed to. Now, in Christ Jesus, what was external, what was physical, becomes internal and complete. And so in him we are made clean. In him we are made holy. In him we are made new and given eternal life. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you gave us a picture in the Old Testament of such remarkable obedience. And we know it's not going to be the last time that you ask for something very difficult from Abraham. But we thank you that you again and again demonstrate your faithfulness, even as Abraham in this instance demonstrates real faith. Lord, we want to demonstrate faith in the way we live. We want to walk in obedience to you. We want to go ahead and do now what you tell us to do. So help us to trust and obey, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen.